I invite you this morning to turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Lord willing, today and next Sunday, we're going to be in this passage of Scripture. This is one of the great unfoldings of Paul's burden for the Gentile nations that is recorded in the New Testament. He unfolds his heart as he shares with them his burden for missions, what God has called him to do. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but we're going to begin reading together at verse 13, and we'll read down around verse 26, 27 of this passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 13 of Romans chapter 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey unto Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Now look please over to verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank you for the heart of the Apostle Paul and his desire to be used of thee to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, to those people who are in Asia and beyond. Lord, I pray that we might understand what our part is related to missions. I pray that we might take from this passage of Scripture an understanding of what we are to do. Lord, I pray that we would not allow the preaching of the Word to miss in our hearts, that we would not be thinking about the cares of the day or the activities of the coming week, but that we might be fully engaged in our hearts and in our minds to receive the blessed Word of God. I pray that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts today, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever I read this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of a poem that used to be on the back of our living room door when we were growing up as children. It came in a John R. Rice sermon booklet, and my mom had cut it out and taped it on the back of the door, and the title of that poem was The Bridge Builder. I remember reading it as a child, and I've read it many times over the years, but whenever I read as Paul unveils his heart and his desire to carry the gospel, not only to those that he was with at the present time, he was writing from Corinth, but also to go to Jerusalem to bring to them the missionary offerings of those from Macedonia that had given to the poor saints at Jerusalem, but also his desire to go to Rome. He's talking about a lot of traveling, is he not? His desire, one thing, to carry forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was a builder of bridges. You note that one passage that said, "Yet not I strive to preach the gospel where Christ was named, but to go to the place where He was not named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." He wanted to be a pioneer bridge builder. He didn't want to go where everybody else had gone. He wanted to go in places where no one had gone before. You know, I think we need to get back to that philosophy in our missions understanding. It seems that we have a glut of missionaries in familiar places, but we do not have them in places where the gospel is not named. I'm going to share some illustrations a little bit later on, but let me read to you this poem that I've known for many, many years, and some of you have known as well, written many, many years ago. An old man traveling alone on a highway came in the evening cold and gray to a chasm deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, for that stream held no fear for him. But when he reached the other side, he built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength building here, for your journey will end with ending of day, and you never again will pass this way." The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, on the road I have come," he said. "There follows after me today a fair-haired lad who will pass this way. And this stream, which has been naught to me, may to that fair-haired lad a pitfall be." Felt the need to build a bridge. Paul was a builder of bridges. He shared his vision for reaching Asia with the gospel. In 2,000 years, however, we have only reached about half of the world with the news that there is a bridge to God, and that bridge is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you think about that. I have on the bulletin board some statistics. Over 3 billion people have not heard a clear presentation of the gospel in their language. 3 billion. That's a tremendous, tremendous task. Now, we have a long ways to go when we look at that and we say, how in the world can we ever reach the lost? You see, the purpose of the local church and every Bible-believing church should be everyone doing something. Everyone doing something. No one who is a part of a local church is exempt. There are those who think they're exempt. There are those who do not want to be too committed to the church. They want to be free to slip off and do their own thing. Dr. Kent Hughes, in his commentary on preaching the word of Colossians and Philemon, relates the story of a 70-year-old woman who was blind and uneducated. She was from Benin, West Africa. A missionary relates this story to Kent Hughes, and he included that in his commentary. Filled with gratitude for the Savior, she wanted to do something for Christ. Now remember, she's 70 years old. She's blind and she's uneducated. What could she possibly do? Some would ask. So she went to the missionary who had led her to Christ with her French Bible and asked him to underline the important salvation Bible verses in red so that she might know. And she marked every passage so she could feel the markers and open her Bible. And he questioned her, "Why do you wish to do this? You are blind." And she said, "I have a plan." And so he watched as she left after he underlined the salvation verses in red. And she went to the school and she sat down on the step. And when the alarm sounded for the school to be out, she stopped the children that came out of the schoolhouse and she opened her Bible and she said, "Do you know French?" Obviously in the French language, she said that. And whenever the students would say, "Oui," she would open her Bible and she'd say, tell them to sit down behind her and said, "Read these verses. Read these verses." And then she would feel to the next bookmark and she would turn it. "Now read these verses. I want you to know about my Savior who saved me from our sin." The missionary who watched her day after day until she was not able to come because of her health and she passed away. Every day there was school. This lady was outside the door waiting for the afternoon bell or the chime to ring so that the students would come out so she could open her Bible and witness. Now, isn't that amazing? That an uneducated woman who was blind had a desire to communicate the gospel, and she figured out a way to do it. She figured out how to reach children with the gospel. The missionary tells about a young man who was saved as a result of this witness. One of the young men is still in Benin, West Africa. He's a pastor who was led to the Lord Jesus Christ with an open French Bible with an uneducated 75-year-old woman 5 years later who led him to Christ. And he said, I knew when I came to Christ that I should proclaim Jesus as this woman. And he became a pastor as a result. Everybody doing something. Everybody doing something. Now, the first thing to understand is that proclaiming Christ is a job for all of God's people. You'll have opportunities to proclaim Him to people who will never come hear me preach here at Grace Bible Church. Can I say that again? You will have more opportunities to witness than will ever be for someone to come here in church and hear me preach. Multiplication. If everybody here is out telling others about Jesus Christ, we're reaching more people than we'll reach right here at Grace Bible Church inside the four walls. It just makes sense for us to be doing that. It does not matter if you are retired, on a walker, an entrepreneur, or uneducated, a young adult with a spouse, a single parent with a child, a teenager, or a young child who gets an allowance. It doesn't matter. No one is exempt. You are to be a part of God's program. You are to do something for Him. No Christian is relieved of duty because they don't feel that they can witness very well. I've heard that come from people, I'm not very good at witnessing. A 70-year-old uneducated lady opened her Bible and witnessed to children by letting them read the verses in French. I think that the excuses kind of fall to the wayside, don't you? You may not be able to speak with eloquence, but you can point people to the Savior. That's all you have to do. Point them to the Savior. Let them read the Scriptures if you can't read very well. You can have a role to play. Maybe you think that you've served long enough, or you have fulfilled what you deem to be your responsibilities, and now you can focus on something else. That's not the role that's given to us in the Word of God. You and I will one day stand before the judgment bar of God, and you and I will have to give an account. Only those who have grasped the concept of everyone doing something can move to the next level. Everyone doing something more than you did last year. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We've got to get the first one down before we can go to the second part. Do I hear an amen? Everyone doing something. And then once we get that down, everyone doing something more than we did last year. I think that's a biblical principle. That's what we find with Paul. He's mapping out in chapter 15 his desire to carry the gospel back to Jerusalem and Judea. He's asking them to strive together with him in prayer that he might communicate the message to the Judeans who had rejected him, who had sought to stone him. I want to be able to communicate the gospel to them, and then I want to come to you in Rome and communicate the gospel there. You know how God worked it out for him to go to Rome twice? He got arrested. And that's how he made it to Rome. And the Lord made his arrest such that he could actually have people come in and he could communicate with those without the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a man who was building bridges. I want you to think of being a witness of the gospel as building a bridge. I want you to think of it that way as we look at these principles. Now, you might say to yourself, Pastor Brainerd, you really don't mean what you just said. Everybody doing something more than we did last year? You can't mean that. Listening, I just mentioned about standing before the judgment bar of Christ. I just don't see us standing there before Him with a stick of gum in our mouth, chewing away, slouching, and telling God, you know, God, I gave you some years at the Christian school. You know, I taught a Sunday school class. I did a few things. I put money in the offering plate. You know, did you really expect more out of me? You know, I just cannot imagine the Apostle Paul, who had a burden for lost souls and a burden for seeing Christians edified in the Word of God, even understanding that kind of mentality. That you would think in your own heart, I'm doing enough. We never do enough. Like I just said, we have 3 billion people on this earth today that have not heard a clear gospel message in their language. They've heard all kinds of messages, but they haven't heard a clear gospel message. That means that there's more to do. Let me just share a few things about each one of us should do more this year for 4 simple reasons. Am I asking too much? Let me just share with you 4. Number one, because there's more to do. If there's more to do, that means we have to do more. Very simple. I'm a simple person. I'm not a complex preacher. I'm not a complex thinker. I like things put down where I can understand it. And if there's more to do, that means I have to do more. There have never been more lost people on this planet than there are today. It's simple math. We've got to get the gospel to them. We have fewer missionaries. We have fewer going. We have fewer giving. I don't know how many pastors I've talked to over the past year in 2015 that said that they had to cut back on the number of missionaries that they were supporting because the money was not coming in. It seems like people are doing what? Less. They're doing less. We crossed the 7 billion mark a few years ago of people on this planet, and we are already working our way toward 8 billion people. It's amazing the population boom in Asia right now. In India, Pakistan, the Arab countries, the average is 6 children per family. Europe is dying. One and a half children? You say it's not possible to have 1.5 children. That's average. Okay? In America, we're dropping. Used to be 3 children per family. America is down to 2.1. We're losing ground while other people are growing in population all around the world, and they're in areas where the gospel is not being preached. Number 2, there is more that can be done than what we are doing. Think about this. In this age of modern technology, TV, satellite, email, social media, handheld devices, printing abilities, mass communication, we have more ability to do more than ever before. And what are we doing? We're on our social media sending pictures of ourselves in front of the meat counter at Walmart. Okay, that's what we're doing. You think about that. You know, I cannot go out into the community without seeing people do selfies. They're everywhere. You see them on the sidewalk. You see them at the store. They're over there doing this this thing, you know, with all the pictures. I don't even know how to do all that kind of stuff. I purposefully have desired not to learn more about it. First of all, no one wants to see my ugly picture. And certainly no one wants to see the meat counter at Walmart. But you know, there are people that are doing it. We find all kinds of things to do with media. But don't give a gospel message whatever you do. How about Instagram? When was the last time you sent a Bible verse? Well, now they won't. Nobody will listen to it. Why? Why? Nobody will want to listen to it because you'd shock them half to death that you posted a Bible verse or honored God with it. I'm telling you, folks, this is where we are today. We have more means of communicating the gospel than ever before. And how did Paul get from Corinth to Jerusalem? He had to take a boat. You know how long it took for him to get there? To have to cross the Mediterranean to get over there and then to get to walk from there all the way up to Jerusalem or ride on a donkey? And yet we have got, we can get in a jet and we can be on the other side of the world by midnight tonight. We can travel. We can communicate at lightning speed. And what are we communicating? We're communicating ourselves. That's what we're communicating. We're communicating ourselves and not Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because we've lost the purpose. We don't take up our part in missions. Our part in missions is not throwing a buck in the offering plate. Our part in missions is going to our next door neighbor and witnessing to him about Christ. We've entered into missions at that point. We've entered into missions. We go down to the convalescent center maybe sometime during the week when we got a few moments and say, I'm just going to go visit in a few rooms and share the gospel. There's all kinds of ways. We have hundreds of people on this campus during baseball season that are milling around up here, and all we have to do is just go and sit down with somebody and share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first excuse that comes up, they might say no. Yes, they might. But at least you communicated with them, because their initial no may come around to be a yes later. Amen? You ever heard about planting and watering and God giving the increase? God did not say in that Bible verse, only water and only put the seed in the ground if they say yes. No, that's not what it says. We plant and we water and God gives the increase. When was the last time you planted? When was the last time you watered? Oh, we have all kinds of things. Let me just tell you something. Take your technology and turn it into a witness tool. That's all I'm saying. Take your technology and turn it into a witness tool. You'll shock the people on the other side that probably have never heard you give a gospel witness in any of your communications. And that's sad. It's a sad commentary. But you can start new today. Amen. Isn't that wonderful about being in the Lord? You can say, Lord, I've been wrong in how I've been using this, but Lord, I'm going to be used of Thee. I'm going to communicate less about me and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is more that can be done than what we are doing. Number three, if you have been listening to the preaching of the Word of God, reading your Bible daily, and studying God's Word on your own, in other words, growing spiritually, then there should be more to you spiritually as a Christian than there was last year. Isn't that right? If you've been listening and you've been studying on your own and you've been growing in the Lord, then there's more to you than there was last year at this time. So if there is more to you spiritually, can you do more for Christ in this new year? I think so. And then finally, there is less time to get the work done than ever before. There is less time to get the work done than ever before. We are dying. The lost are dying, and Jesus is coming back soon. With that in mind, we need to get busy. It is obvious to the alert Christian that God had a ministry for the Apostle Paul. And that ministry was to get the Word of God to as many people as he could before he passed off this earthly scene. He knew. God's Spirit had told him that he would not come home from Rome. That he was going to give his life. And you know what he did up to that last minute before the sword came down upon the back of his neck and ended his earthly life? He was witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. If God is to see His program of getting the Word of God to the people who have never heard, then we must have a part. We must have a part in this ministry. It is clear to me that one person cannot do the work alone. It's clear to me that Buddy Fitzgerald and his wife Lauren cannot do the whole country of Peru by themselves. It's clear to me that Phil and Rachel Frazier cannot do the whole country of the Philippines by themselves. Or Jethro Malakow, who's serving down at Brooks Point Bible Church and reaching 8 different churches with different individuals that he trained to communicate the gospel. They can't do it all by themselves. You think about those that are serving in Europe, those that are serving in places that are difficult, like Russia, or maybe those that are serving in Lebanon. And God put them there so that when the Syrian refugees that God knew about would come, that there would be some servants prepared to minister to those Syrian refugees that would come into Lebanon. Isn't that wonderful? In the right place, at the right time, because they wanted to serve God. They volunteered for Jesus. It's not a mistake. Why did God choose to allow refugees to come into Lebanon? Because He had prepared some individuals, more than just those two, by the way, that are there to communicate the gospel to them. Because in Syria, they would never hear. That's one of the countries where the gospel is forbidden to be preached. But now they came across the border into Lebanon, and He's taking the Word of God, and He's communicating it to those people, the grace of God. And people are coming to Christ. It takes a burden. People doing something. But more than that, people doing something more than they did last year. This is just a simple principle that I want to try to get over to you. This whole chapter, chapter 15, is an unburdening of Paul's heart regarding getting the gospel to the Gentiles who had never heard. He said, I'm going to a place where no man has gone before. I don't want to go where somebody else has gone. I want to go where no one has gone before. I want to see them receive the gospel message. But it is not just about himself. Who else does he want to be involved with his ministry? The people to whom he writes in this passage. And who are they? The Romans? But wait a minute. Who's reading this passage today? We are. So it's not just the Romans, is it? It's everyone that's ever taken up the book of Romans to read it. God wants you to enter into His service. He wants the Roman believers to be helpers in this work, and He wants you and I to be involved in this work. Imagine that. He wanted the Romans to have the same privilege and opportunity that He had. Yes, privilege and opportunity. There are five challenges that the Apostle Paul makes in Romans chapter 15. And today, and next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to unfold these five challenges to us. We can say, oh yes, that was intended for the Romans, but it's intended for us. We're Gentiles. We're Gentile believers. And God wants us to know. First of all, He wants us to know from the early verses of chapter 15 that we need to take up the burden and be less concerned with pleasing ourselves. Notice, please, these few verses, first three verses here of Romans chapter 15. I did not read them before because I wanted to save them for this point. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, he's relating what he's just communicated in chapter 14. He's talked about weaker brethren and that how stronger brethren are to reach down and help the weaker brethren to understand, and we are to be sacrificial in that reaching down. We put aside our rights to help those so they can be strengthened. We may have liberty to do certain things, but we choose not to because we want to help these weaker brothers over here. I had an individual some years ago that came up to me after I did my Roman series and said, I don't believe that Christ wants us to step away from our liberty. And I said, how do you see it as stepping away from your liberty? Well, if I have to reach down to a weaker brother that's weaker than I am, then I'm having to step away from my liberty because I want to do... Oh, I said, oh, there's that word. Because I want to do this. I said, that's the problem. The reason that you think it's a stepping away from your liberty is because you got an eye problem. You know, it's not easy to have those kind of conversations. But when you challenge the Word of God and what God says in His Word by saying, you know, I got a problem with that. You know, if I can't do whatever I want to do, God's expecting too much of me. No, He's not. Because He sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree. He did the ultimate gift of love and grace to you and I. So don't talk to me about you've got a problem with. You get your heart right with God and get in the Word of God, and God will make you what you ought to be. If you've got that mentality, you're not what you ought to be. You're selfishly pursuing what Paul's talking about here. Notice the last part of verse 1, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. Oh boy, the Lord, Paul pulled out the highest standard here. Why did he have to do that? You know, we can argue with Paul, but when you bring Christ into it, that just messes everything up. Yeah. Even Christ did not please Himself. The God of all creation that made everything condescended, refused to please Himself, and He became like us. You want to know what the standard is? Just look at your Savior, Jesus Christ. He pleased not Himself. Let's take just a moment here to look at this word. This particular word, areskito. Areskito is a Greek word that appears three times in these three verses. It is in the present active tense, meaning to actively please oneself or to seek intently for satisfaction for oneself. The active searching for contentment outside of a present situation. I'm going to read that again because I want you to get the full import of this Greek word that appears three times here that says we are not to please ourselves. That means that I am not to actively seek to please myself. That I am not to seek intently for satisfaction for myself. That I am not to actively search for contentment outside of a present situation. Why? Because I already have it in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. People who are actively pursuing to somehow please themselves by doing things in this world have missed the truth. And you will never take up your part in missions because you won't follow God's Word as it's given. We are to take up the burden and be less concerned with pleasing ourselves. You realize that there's only three things that you can contribute? I don't know if we've ever put it in this particular format before, but there's only three things you can contribute. Yourself, your money, or your children. Those are the only three things that we have. Ourselves and all that goes with ourselves. Our money and all that goes with our money. And our children and all that goes with them. I've told this story a few times over the years about a woman that came up after a service to an evangelist that had preached on sending your children to the mission field. And she met him at the door and she started to bless him out. How dare he that he was playing God? And he said, no, I just read the Word of God that we're to train up our children in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And that oftentimes means sending our children away from us, sending them away to serve God. And she said, well, I'm not sending my children. Her eldest boy came to her after that service when they got home and said, Mom, Dad, I believe God's calling me to the mission field, after she had just chewed out the thing. And she went into a rage. I knew this was going to happen. He said, Mom, with or without your support, I'm going to be a missionary. A few weeks later, that same mother, when she saw her son walk up to the front to dedicate his life to being a missionary for God, he told the congregation, that message a few weeks ago spoke to my heart, and I've been battling about what God would have me to do, and so I believe that God's called me. I don't know where yet, but I know He's called me to be a missionary, and I just wanted to tell everybody here in our church that that's what I desire to do. And the mother came up the aisle at that moment and kneeled down in the front weeping. And then she got up and she said, I won't stand in your way, son. I won't stand in your way. You see, she was putting earthly things ahead of heavenly things. She was thinking about missing her son. She was thinking about missing her grandchildren that would possibly come from that son. If he's away off in a foreign country, we're not going to get to see each other very often. There's only three things you can give. Yourself, your money, or your children. If you don't have children, two things. Yourself or your money. Those are the only things we have to give when it comes to missions. Now, Paul is putting things in a very straightforward manner here. He says, stop pleasing yourself and get to pleasing your neighbor for his good and edification. And there are people that say, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to put my neighbor's good ahead of my own good? Are you kidding me? You don't know my neighbor. What does he say? He's referring back to chapter 14, talking about the weaker brother. He said, put his concerns ahead of yours. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time that we put the concerns of somebody else ahead of ourselves? A lot of times we're pushing ourselves to the forefront rather than thinking. Notice these verses again. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us, how many? Every one. Well, there's got to be an exception clause in there somewhere. Maybe it's in the small print. Maybe it's in the margin. I'll look for it. No, I don't see it there. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to his being built up in the faith. That's what the Christian community is supposed to be doing. That's what the local church, Grace Bible Church, is supposed to be doing. Absolutely. Building up our neighbor in the Word of God. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. He bore in his body on the tree the complete reviling, the complete reproach of all those people as they spat upon him, as they beat him, as they mocked him. He suffered the mockings and scourgings of sinners. And he did so by not pleasing himself. This is one of the great messages of missions that oftentimes is forgotten. We toss some money into the plate and say, well, I did my part. Well, you did something. That's good. You did something. But we need to do something more. We need to do something more. And that's the challenge of the Apostle Paul to these Roman believers as he wrote this letter in Corinth, as he was overwhelmed. By the way, he wrote this letter after having received from the Macedonians these poor, poor people that we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They had just come and delivered all that they had for Paul to take back to Jerusalem. They didn't have much. But they said, Paul, the message of the Word of God has reached our heart, and we want to help those poor saints down in Jerusalem. Would you take this, please? And with that in his heart, the Holy Spirit of God moved on him, and he wrote Romans. He wrote to the Romans, and he communicates to us in this passage how he's going to take the offering from Macedonia and Achaia to the people of Jerusalem. His heart's overwhelmed. Why? Because they did something more than what he anticipated. They did something more than he anticipated, and he was overwhelmed. And the book of Romans is the gift to the church today. It came from a heart overwhelmed by the giving of Corinthian and Achaian and Macedonian believers. They did more than he ever expected. You see how the work of the Lord works? You see how it unfolds? It's people that get a grasp. I did something, but now I want to do something more. When you get a hold of that principle, and you give unto the Lord, He'll take care of all your needs. He'll make sure every need is taken care of. When you get a hold of that principle, as long as you're clinging to yourself, to your money, and to your children, you'll not understand Christian giving. You'll not understand that. But when you let go and you say, Lord, I'm just going to take care of your work. Wherever you touch me to give, Lord, I'm going to give. I'm going to give of my children. I'm going to give of myself. I'm going to give of my money. And it will be amazing to watch God take care of you, because that's how it works. This is the principle. Everybody doing something. But what's the next part? Everybody doing something more. Lord willing, next week we're going to continue with these five ways, these five understandings that Paul gives to these believers. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, there is so much to do. There's more to do than ever before. We should have grown spiritually in 2015. We should be stronger than we were last year. We should be more spiritual than we were last year. We should be having grown greater in the grace of Jesus Christ than we were last year. And that means more responsibility. That means we should do more. And there's more to do than there ever has been in the history of mankind. With nearly 3 billion people that have not received the message of the gospel in their own language, we realize there's much more to do. Help us, Father, to understand that You want us to be a part of this work. You want us to reach out to the lost. You want us to communicate the gospel to our neighbors. You want us to communicate the grace of God to those family members that are lost. We know they're lost. And they need a letter. They need a phone call. They need to have a personal witness of the gospel of the grace of God. And we don't do it because we're so absorbed with ourselves. And You've told us in Your Word today that we are not to please ourselves, but we're to please our neighbor. We're to reach out to those around us, to those that are weaker than we are, to lift them up. Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts, that You would stir up our souls to get with it when it comes to these matters, that we'll not waste another day on ourselves, but that we would fully give ourselves to Your work and to Your cause. Just like that 70-year-old lady, blind, uneducated in Benin, West Africa, she got a glimpse of the purpose that You had for her. And she went over the hurdles of her inadequacies, and she simply opened a Bible and became a witness to children, had them read the Scriptures, though she could not read them herself. Lord, she was able to do something. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to do something as well for Thee. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.